Vulture over Asherish, Gaji, Nishkeltahias. Welcome back again to The Stories Beneath. And my name is Margaret McKenna. I'm an artist, a visual storyteller, because I believe that every image has a story and every story has an image. So it's the 2nd of April and I'm a little bit late again. Sorry about that, but it's just different person circumstances happened over the last day. My little hamster in the house named Pumpkin died, and it meant that she was very sick for a few days, so it kind of delayed things a bit. My daughter's hamster. I know they're not there for long, but they're still part of the family, and you have to do your best for them. So anyhow, I'm talking today about a place in County Monaghan, south part of Monaghan, Cundey Muinochán, Carrickmacross and the surrounding area. A couple of little stories about it. I will return to Monaghan because with a name like McKenna, a surname like McKenna, I'll have to go back there because we're totally connected in that with Monaghan. We're ten a penny up in the north of Monaghan. In fact, you'd need to have a nickname to so that you can be identified with your particular family. I believe our nickname was Slayer McKenna, which I don't know what the origin exactly is. That my dad used to say it was something to do with a landlord being killed by one of the McKennas, but I don't know. I don't know the history exactly. I have looked it up, but I couldn't find any evidence of it. Anyhow, so, but I'm not talking about that end or that end of the country or the county today. And the reason I'm talking about Carrickmacross, living down in the south of the county, is because I've been working in a Gaelscoil there for the last few weeks, on and off. And doing it part of a scheme where artists go to school and work on projects. And indeed, the project that they're doing is very much connected with the landscape and where they live and the stories about the landscape, which is perfect. And of course, Gaelscoil, for those of you who don't know, is an Irish-speaking school, which I think is wonderful because Irish has been so eroded over for so long. Like with the Gaeltacht areas, and outside that, it's not generally spoken on a day-to-day basis. Well, that's not fair to say, because there's a lot of Irish speakers around the country. But the Gaelscoils, which are the schools whereby all the subjects are taught through Irish, they're only primary schools. As far as I know, they're only in primary schools. They're up and coming. Well, they've been around for quite a while now, but there was quite a lot explosion of them around the country. People are really keen, parents, to put their children into these schools. And certainly it's wonderful to be there and hear the Irish language being spoken in by the little kids on a day-to-day basis, and great for me too, after going back to learning my Irish, to have a chance to actually use it in a class, in any kind of setting. And the children are wonderful, and they're so interested in all the stories, be it about the legends or be it about the stories of the fairies, the Sheog. They're fascinated, and I think it's so important because there's so much the TikTok culture, so much sort of non-culture, they're being swamped with it every day of the week, their phones and everywhere. It's just all around them that it's really hard to hold on to where you come from, to hold on to that past and that richness of heritage. And when it's brought out in front of them, they love it. They really eat it up. And that's the thing. So it's a great chance for me to have an opportunity to share some of that with them as well. So anyway, Carrickmacross is Carrickmacross. Carrickmacross doesn't mean anything. It's just the name Carrickmacross, it sounds like, almost. And it means in Irish, the rock of the wooded plain, which again is lovely descriptive name to a place. The town itself is not that old in terms of Irish history. It was actually built around a castle that was built by the Earl of Essex when the Queen Elizabeth I, the English Queen, decided to give away the land to her pals. Such a nice woman, a little bit sarcastic there, but you know, that's what they did. It wasn't really hers to give, of course, but she did. And he built his castle there, and it was destroyed in the Williamite Wars sometime later. But gradually the town grew, and the Irish, who really didn't have the Gaelic customs, was not very urban orientated. It was much more small settlements in rural areas. So they moved into the town gradually, and as they did, it grew and it became quite a prominent market town in the 18th, 19th century as well. And it's also associated with Carrickmacross lace, which it was established in 1820, and it is a very, very very, very, very highly skilled way of patterns that they do on the lace. And it's actually been in very high demand by quite a lot of celebrities, including royalty. It's very distinctive. It's a very distinctive type of pattern. If you look it up and Google it, you can have some lovely pictures of the lace there. The town itself is also, of course, associated with the workhouse there. And I say that because I actually did some art classes there some years ago. It was very badly affected during An Gortha Mór, which is the big hunger, erroneously called the famine, because it wasn't really a famine. There was a lot of food in the country. But the workhouse now actually is a lovely place because it's actually been, well, most of it has actually been updated and reconstructed. And it's a place of learning. They have lots of computer courses on, art classes on. There's a childcare centre there. There's, you know, so it's great to see a place that was associated with so much misery and hardship being used for the people of the county now. I think it's lovely to see. Outside, just nearby in Carrickmacross, we have our first little place I'm going to visit, which is Tubber Inver. And it's a name, Tubber means a well in Irish. So any place that has a Tubber in it, it means a well. And Inver, I-N-V-E-R, doesn't mean nothing in English or in Irish. In any language, Inver is, there's no V in Irish. But if you put it back into Irish, it's a Tubber in Fionnver. And Fionnver is Fionnver, Finbar. Finbar, the same Finbar. Fionn being in relation to being somebody who's fair. And he was a saint who founded a monastery in the 6th century there. And of course, it was destroyed sometime later. But it actually, the fact that there was a well, excuse me, shows that it actually was a very ancient place, because all of these holy wells were associated with pre-Christian worship. St. Bridget's Well, St. Finbar's Well, St. Killian's Wells, all of the wells around the country, you can guarantee that the Christian version was put on top of the pagan spirituality. And they lived quite happily side by side for a long time. Indeed, you can see quite a hint of both in many of the wells nowadays, even both for ways of belief and faiths. But look, so long as it's respected, it doesn't really matter what way you believe, so long as the place itself is respected. That's the main thing. So you can see already that although the town itself in 1630, there was already places that of much more ancient origin, was valued and was being, you know, was being respected and was part of the community going back maybe a few thousand years, because a lot of these say code at least probably 2000 years anyhow. Further out there's a place called Dunamoyne. Dunamoyne is just townland, and Dunamoyne area comes from the word Downach Mine, and it means Sunday and plain. But Sunday in a terms of a place name means a church, because it means Sunday worship. So the Church of the Plain. Again, a lovely descriptive place. It's also associated with a castle, Castle Manon or Caislean Mine, which would be the castle of the plain. And it's actually part of a golf course now, a Manon golf course, Dunamoyne golf course. And it would have been at Motton Bailey Castle, built by the Normans back in the 12th century by Sir Roger Peakpar. Motton Bailey meant that it had, you know, defensive embankments to stop those mad Irish trying to get in and destroy it, because the first one, Mark Castle, was made of wood and it was destroyed by the wild Irish locals, us McKenna's running around and getting those Normans out of the place. But anyhow, the Normans built another one and made it very strong, I believe. It was meant to be, yes, the story is, and the kids want to tell me in the school, that it was built from stone, but that the mortar was made from animal blood. And that's why it was so strong. But of course, it's now just in ruins, so obviously wasn't that strong at the end of the day. But the reason that they built it there, and this is the interesting part, is that it was actually part of a very old kingdom called Oriel, or Ergiela in Irish. Now, Oriel is well known. It's sort of a name that's often used for that general area, just like in Cavan, we often say Breffni as part of it, because the ancient kingdom of Breffni would have included Cavan as the main part of it, and Oriel, the main part of Monaghan, was Oriel, and then she expanded out. So Ergiela was actually meant to have been founded way back in the 300s CE or AD, as we call it in the old way. And it was founded by the Connor brothers. And this is these are interesting guys because they're semi-mythological. On one hand, I'm really reading about them as being as if they're real. And on the other hand, you're reading about them as if they were more representative of what happened rather than real people. And this happens a lot in mythology. It's a way of explaining things. But they actually say that they actually could be real as well in other versions. So it's really, really interesting when you're reading about them. And quite confusing, to be honest with you. Quite confusing. But there were three brothers anyhow. There was Carol Colaish, A. Colla Man, and Marduch Colla Dacreek. And I'm just being careful the way I say it, because there's a very reason why the order of these names is important in each of their names. There's three names each they had. I'll come back to that in a minute. But the three brothers, anyway, they waged war against the High King of Ireland, Fiacha, and they beat him. And Colla Ish took over, or Colla Uish. It kind of really comes from Uisil. Uisil, he was the noble Colla brother. And he ruled for a time, but he didn't last too long because the rightful heir, Murraduch, was able to dispose him off from the throne. Now, Murraduch did not kill him. And the reason he didn't kill him was he had a very good reason not to kill him. And it was begat to the old Irish a taboo called a gesh. And the gesh was, you see it a lot in Irish mythology. And it's where you are prevented from doing something because something that's going bad is going to happen to you. And the gesh was that if you killed a king or a high king, even though you might rule, your descendants never would. And of course, this would be a huge deterrent because we all know how important it is to have an heir to the throne. So if you killed a king and your heir would never get there, it kind of would seem a little bit pointless in trying to kill him or the high king. So anyhow, Murraduch instead, he banished the brothers to Scotland, and their mother was Aileach. And she was the daughter of the Scottish king. So they stayed there for some time before coming back. And when they came back, they approached Murraduch again. And they knew, of course, he knew that they were coming. There was a little bit of talk in the stories that they were coming almost to be killed by him so that they would curse him in turn. But instead, Murraduch knew of the curse, the Gesh, and he wouldn't have anything. He wasn't going to put himself in that position. So instead, he actually ended up letting them have a kingdom. But not only that, he wanted them to work for him. So they actually became his soldiers, really. And they rounded up an army from Connacht, allies in Connacht, the western province. And Murraduch directed them to go and kill the king of Ulster, who was Fergus. And there was a series of battles after that. And it culminated the Battle of Acha Le Hiarg in the year 331, according to the Irish annals. And that was where Fergus, the king of Ulster, fell. And of course, the Colas became very powerful. Now, the thing about the battle, it's interesting because that place, Carrickmacross, I mentioned, the town of Carrickmacross, is in the barony of Farney. And Farney or Farmig in the old Irish was the plain of the elders, which is a lovely description. And it is said in this annals that the battle took place, this famous battle in 331, in the barony of Farney. However, it is not believed, because it's down south of Monaghan, that that's where it was at all, that the battle actually took place up around on the Armagh border, because that the people who lived there, that Farney used to be there at that time. And it was only later that the people of Farney up north moved to South Monaghan and they brought their nameplace with them. So in other words, the Plain of the Elders might not actually be relevant to, there mightn't have been any Plain of the Elders in the modern Farney, because it actually just came, be like you calling your house such a name and then bring it the next time you move house, you've decided to call the name exactly the same as you had before, even though it's a completely different house. So similar with the land, it seems. So it's quite interesting. So it might be misleading, that version of Farney. From what I'm gathering here, I've read a couple of pieces there, so that's quite interesting. So we don't know what the old name for the modern Farney was. It could have been something completely different. So it kind of gives a tink, it gives a lie to the whole idea that you're describing the landscape in a sense. But anyhow, this battle anyway took place, and Colour Brothers became very strong. And not only that, but they actually moved north then into the famous fort of Awanaka. And of course, I did mention Awanaka in a previous podcast, which was associated with the goddess Maka and associated with the kings of Ulster. And it appears in so many of the old mythology, the mythologies. But they went up to Awanaka, and it is said that they burnt it to the ground and that no king ever resided there after that. Now, they also then had the opportunity, therefore, to extend further. They went into Derry, they went over to us to Loch Ney. So the Oriel or Ariela became a much bigger kingdom just around the Monaghan area. It was expanded up north. Didn't really expand south from what I can see too much. It was really more around going northwards up into the old territory of the King of Ulster, basically. It also stayed as a kingdom. It was run by the MacMahons as well over the later on in time. The MacMahons were a very powerful family in South Monaghan. In fact, they ruled a lot of Monaghan for quite a number of years. They were quite a warlike group because they would have fought with the Normans and also with the Gaelic families as well. So they kind of were really, they stepped into the breach at one stage when one of the other families was defeated by the Normans, and then they took over the power. Sometimes they even sided with the Normans against the Gaelic families. So They were really out to just get power for themselves, it appears, by all accounts, in that era. So Argyll eventually fell in the very early 1600s. But for some time, it literally was a very powerful area right through that whole mid time from the 300s. You're talking right from the 1600s. You're talking over 1,000 years here. Like, you're talking a long time, like a lot longer from it is now back to the 1600s. Mad when you think about it, because you were trying to think it was all the way in the past, but no, it's like, you know, 1600s is relatively modern in comparison. Also, the interesting thing about the Colour Brothers, and this is where I've just delved into a little bit about them, and I have to admit I'm still quite confused about it, but for what it's worth, I'll say what I've come up with is that on one hand they're mythological, because they say it was a way of explaining the you know, what happened, and mythological, but also semi-historical, that there were three brothers, and maybe they were Colour Brothers, but they're not too sure. And on the other hand, there's quite a discussion as to who the Colour Brothers actually were. And what's interesting is that they're talking about their names, because the names that I mentioned earlier on, and I was very careful reading them out, because it was Carol, Colour, Boot, A Colour Man, and Murdoch Colour de Creek. So it just gets confusing. And the reason I'm saying it is the first name was the first name, their personal name, then came their surname, and then came their descriptive name. And this is a format that was not used in Gaelic Ireland, but it was used in Roman Britain. So it is actually thought that they actually could have had, now we know the mother was to do with Scotland and that, but this would have been more Gaelic. But at the same time, the Romans were in Britain at the time. Not that they were Roman, but that they were the Celtic British. Because remember, the Celts were very strong still under the British, under Roman times. It wasn't until the Angles and Saxons came over later on that the Celts were sort of pushed west into Wales and Cornwall, you know, etc. So these would have been the Britons. And they believe they were the Trevantes tribe. So there's actually a serious talk that these Colour Brothers could have come from this tribe, or partly from this tribe at least, and that they were connected with Colchester. Again, it's kind of interesting because these Colour Brothers are meant to have left their mark, and there's serious talk about in the DNA of many Irish families, which includes the McKenna families. And interestingly enough, when I did my McKenna DNA, I was coming up with ancient samples coming over from that area, which is too far from Colchester, which would be an ancient Celts in England. Which would have been probably the forerunners to where they moved over to the west of England before, say, the Saxons and the Angles came. So isn't that really interesting? So, I mean, I'd love to delve more into this, and maybe some of you out there might know a bit more about this. But it's confusing. I have to admit, my brain was a bit frazzled reading about it too, because you're going from one article to the next, and you're delving into it, and you're thinking, wow, this is really. Are we dealing with real people? Are we dealing with mythological people?
And why, if they're mythological, are they actually trying to find the origins of like of real people? So it's not like Finn McCool, it's not like Hugh Cullen. There is a definite link to reality with these three brothers and actually identifying them with families in Ireland today. So that's what the main, I suppose, body of this podcast is about them. A little confusing perhaps, but it's interesting. So if any of you know more, I'd love to let me know. By the way, you can contact me on an email on margaret@celticmyths.ie. So if you have any interesting bits or places like that that you'd love me to talk about, or places, definitely let me know, because I'd be very interested. Certainly, and also, oh yes, the other thing I want to say is my podcasts are now available on my website, which is margaretmckenna.ie. Now, this one won't be going up for a couple of days, but you can get it obviously wherever you're listening now, and in an Apple as well, and on Google Play. I probably have a Google Play as well. So, however, if you go onto my margaretmckenna.ie, you'll find my artwork, which is I have a lot of, as well as my ordinary paintings, I have a lot of my Celtic myth stuff. And I also have blogs about places I've gone to, ancient sites in Ireland, as well as, of course, my podcast. So you'll see all the links on top. It's being updated at the moment, so there's a couple of bits that will be added on as I'm going along. So I hope you might have a look and enjoy it. There's one last little story I want to tell you, and it's just about Castle Man. And this is Caislean Mine, and it's totally different origins than the castle of the plain. And then they said it's also to do with the Druid Mon, often connected to Monaghan MacLir, the sea god. But anyhow, the Druid Mon was said to have been around at the time of St. Patrick. St. Patrick's associated with a lot around this northern area. He travelled a lot around the north, and then of course over to the west to the place like Kirkpatrick as well, more than the southern part of the country. So anyhow, he was in the area. And of course, Monaghan, being a Druid, wouldn't have been a fan of Patrick by any means. And he really wanted to get rid of him. So he actually invited him to his home, and Patrick accepted. But he himself actually turned himself into an eel. And he went into the local loch, or the lake. And the fish were poisoned. And one of the fish was caught and presented as a meal for Patrick. But the girl who was waiting on the table, she knew this, and she didn't want Patrick to eat it, but she wasn't able to tell him. She was prevented from telling him. So she tried doing time a verse or song, and Patrick got the hint, basically. And he asked where Monaghan was, and Monaghan, she said, well, he's not here, he's down in the lake kind of thing. And so Monaghan put a curse on him, and the curse being that from that day on, he would have to remain in the form he was forever. So it is said that the Druid Monaghan is still there in the nearby lake as an eel. And that's what the story is. So if you catch an eel in Lake Monaghan, you never know, it could be a druid you're catching. I don't know what he could do nowadays, if he'd be able to do a little bit of magic or not, or what he would do. He didn't seem to be a very nice guy anyway. He was, then maybe, you know, it's, I mean, we say that, you know, Patrick, this, well, I don't think, I mean, we hear Patrick, there's a lot of talk about Patrick. I said this in the last podcast, people saying he slaughtered people and everything like that. There's absolutely no grounds for that. It seems to be very much a very gradual conversion, as it were, of people in Ireland, to be honest with you, to Christianity. And a conversion that actually still mingled an awful lot of the pagan aspects. So that's why we have so many of our old traditions even to this day. So which is great that we have. We're very lucky that we have still so much of the ancient culture mixed in, yes indeed, with a lot of the Christianity. But still, at least it's something we can cling on to, and we should try and keep it there alive. And that's why it's so lovely to go into the schools and be able to talk about these old stories and keep them alive. Be they ones of our Cú Chulainn or Fionn MacCool, or indeed origins of our kingdoms, ancient kingdoms. So anyway, that's the story today, and I hope you enjoyed it. I will be putting it up on my website shortly. So Gurin Míle Maha Gaoibh Galéir again. Thank you very much, all of you, today again, and I hope you enjoyed it. And Slán go fóill, bye for now.